This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Let's go. LSU lands one of the biggest commitments for 2025. Let's get to it.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
Let's go, LSU. What are you doing, baby? Bringing in another commitment. I mean, goodness gracious, there are other schools that need elite defensive backs. But, man, the Tigers get Cade Phillips. They flip him from Texas. Obviously, this was a Corey Raymond specialty. And I would even give him more credit here than with DJ Pickett, because this was a bet that Corey made on himself in many ways, right? He just kept the foot on the gas pedal, and he finally got it done. And this will be one of LSU's best corner classes in a while, right? You know, you look back, the last elite corner class was when LSU brought in Elias Ricks and Dwight McLaughlin in the same crop. And I think this one has a chance to get even better. Obviously, Aiden Anding is another corner out there out of Ruston, who I like a lot. He'll be committing here in about 6 days on the 24th. This is unfreaking believable stuff. So you look here, Cade Phillips, a lot of off coverage plays. You see he likes to get physical. Lots of pick sixes, lots of good ball skills mixed in there as well. And this is a guy who is a top 200 recruit. And according to On3, he is a top 100 recruit. So this is your bona fide, typical blue chip four-star recruit. Not of the elite variety, but athletically, he's up there. 6 foot tall. Obviously, you see some safety reps. He can also potentially play safety at LSU. Big day if you are an LSU Tiger fan. And look, the simple truth is this. In the modern game, you need DBs, right? You've always needed DBs, but you need DBs now more than ever. Now, there is some really good news to go along with this as well, because I really, and if you're a patron, you know this, I really liked this defensive back crop from last year. I thought it was really, really, really good. There are multiple players that are already going to play a lot this next season. So what's really good about this is you don't necessarily need Cade Phillips to step right in and play right away like a lot of the young guys in this secondary are going to have to do. So this is a guy I think that could potentially, obviously I don't give out, you know, year one grades or anything like that until I see their senior film, but he does have year one potential out of Missouri City, Texas. You see the recruiting rankings for yourself. Once again, it's On3, the one service that really views him as an elite guy. The other services, 247, ESPN, and Rivals, have him in that 233, 250-ish range, which is fine, right? What's really interesting about LSU defensive backs is they're come in all shapes and sizes when it comes to the recruiting ranking. You've had, of course, your elite five stars like Stingley and Patrick Peterson. You've also had your middle tier four stars like a Tyrann Mathieu, and then you had your lower tier three stars, obviously, like Jalen Mills and Morris Claiborne. So really good stuff here by LSU. I would like Aiden Anding to be a part of this class. So Aiden, if you're watching, shout out to you. And look, This is a guy that has insane footwork. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. Now, I want to get into USC. We are two Sundays away. Can you believe this? Like literally, let this, I'm looking at you right now. Let this sink into your soul right now. We are 2 weeks away from tackle football. 2 weeks, okay? I will be there. So if you want to meet up, I'm going to try and find something out. I actually do have a lot of like business kind of things to do, but we will be doing a meetup more likely on that Saturday. So I'm really pumped up about getting to meet a lot of you. There's some of you that are flying in from all around the country. I didn't know I was going until, so PHLers really wanted me to go. I'll put it that way. I do not have Vegas money. I don't. But I might at the end of this next season because of one big development. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay. Now we welcome in Brian, CT, Mac, Nick, Richard. So Brian Kelly yesterday said that the USC install will begin on Tuesday. And guess what? I like to lockstep with my coach. I'm going to do the same damn thing. So on Tuesday, we're really going to start diving in to USC. What I expect from them, what I think they're going to do, and so on and so on. Now, I want you to take this in because there is one area, one, where USC has a pretty big advantage. And it's not their wide receivers going up against our DBs. It's not. Okay? I do not believe that to be the case. I thought so a month ago. I've kind of talked myself a little bit into the secondary. Do I still think they are going to get torched? Yes. I think USC is going to put up a lot of points. But I don't think it's going to be what we witnessed last year. Right? Because if we're talking like a gazillion percent certain that the over is going to hit, I'm not quite there anymore. I'm really not. Where I think one USC advantage that they do have going into this game is Lincoln Riley, right? We've seen this before. 2 years ago, where a neutral site game was played, there was two different narratives about the coaches with their teams. Okay, we were going into that Florida State game, and it was Brian Kelly's first game, but there was so much more pressure on Florida State to win that game. So much more, right? There was no one really liked Mike Norvell at Florida State. He had underachieved. Remember, the year before, they lost to Jacksonville State, and Mike Norvell called a wonderful game, okay? And Lincoln Riley's kind of in the same spot. Most LSU fans are satisfied with what Brian Kelly has done up to this point. Most. Now, are we thrilled? No, that's not the truth. You know, you would like to think that we would have gotten to a playoff last year with Jaden Daniels. But USC fans are not happy with Lincoln Riley. They just aren't. And there's no other way you can really spin that with Caleb Williams as your quarterback. You also didn't go to a playoff in either one of those two seasons. And you also had this situation where he didn't get rid of his defensive coordinator, who we all know is bad. We know it's bad. Alex Grinch has been mostly bad than compared to good. But what's very interesting is that gave Lincoln Riley a very convenient excuse, right? We got to get the defensive coordinator out of here. But now he's got to produce. He doesn't have Caleb Williams anymore. I don't think Miller Moss is going to win the Heisman. Obviously, Miller Moss is good based on that one bowl game, but this is going to be the least hyped quarterback that he's had in a while. All right. So what's going to be very interesting as far as like any advantages that USC has, I think Lincoln Riley is really going to open up the back. He's going to really need to. All right. And that could be an advantage for them. But the more I look into it, the more I'm like, does USC have any massive advantages over LSU? I do believe they'll be able to run the football on us. I do believe they'll be able to throw the football on us. At this point, I would be very shocked if USC did not at least score at least three touchdowns in this game. I mean, 21 is like the bare minimum. I think most of us, if we had to bet our life savings on it, if you had to predict if USC was going to score 28 or more points, I would think it would be around that range. I think this will be one of these 31-28 kind of games at this point. So I think USC's offense is going to be good. I think Lincoln Riley does have an advantage in that, you know, we've never really faced him in recent years. And we don't have any film on him. Okay. And offense is a very reactionary, or excuse me, defense is a very reactionary thing. All right. Now, next thing, we say hi to Dylan. Everybody, welcome Dylan to the channel. Sibley. I will say, Sibley gave me a life-changing phone call the other day. I will not put the cart before the horse here because, Sibley, let's not talk about publicly what we talked about and who we talked to. But it was pretty colorful, to say the least. We saw my longtime friend, Richard. Good to see you. I think this is the same Richard that I know. But now, I want to get into what Chance wants to talk about because I didn't want the whole beginning to be recruiting. But the question, and I wanted to open this up before I started doing my deep dives on USC. Do you feel, I'm literally asking you, is there any advantage that USC has over LSU? Any. Their receivers versus our DBs. I get it. Woody Marks, pretty good running back. We're familiar with him. I get it. But is there any advantage? Okay. Now, I want to talk about Texas. All right. We're a weird situation here. Absolutely, positively weird situation. I crap on Texas all the time. I try not to. There's people that go to Texas, live in Austin, that support what we do. And obviously, Sibley's one of them. One of my really good friends lives in Austin, Texas. Austin has some of the best barbecue, best culture, so on and so on and so on. I have a friend that is in that building every single day as well. So I don't want to be the guy that just trashes on Texas. If we get our first super chat of the evening, Larry, thank you for your super chat. You get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. All right. But LSU has stuffed Texas in a locker. We should be arrested for bullying what we did to Texas in recruiting over the past couple of weeks. My goodness gracious, I understand. I freaking love Kalik Lockett and we were recruiting him and Texas got him. But how many more recruits is Texas going to lose to LSU? And the funny thing about it is we talk about Kate Phillips, Aiden Andy next week. He's going to see the light and pick LSU. What's very funny about it is we're not even talking about the biggest recruit that Texas lost to LSU, and that's Bo freaking Davis. And obviously we talk about Bo all the time, but that's the biggest recruiting flip that we've had up to this point. So far, LSU has gotten Kate Texas to flip from Texas to LSU. Zion Williams. This is how good of a flip Zion Williams was. Even though it technically wasn't a flip, Zion Williams, his profile photo on Huddle was him in a Texas uniform from Lufkin. Brandon Brown flips from Texas to LSU. Stuffing them in a locker. You go into Texas and get Dylan Battle as well. Brian Kelly. I hate you, dude. Bullying is not fine. You don't have to keep doing what you're doing to Texas on the trail. Sherman, Wilson, the whole recruiting staff, you got to quit doing this. The SEC is going to come down on you. They're going to come down and be like, hey, you can't keep doing this. Can't keep going into Texas. You would think of any state. Of any state that cares about the borders, We're going in there and taking all the recruits. God dog. LSU is setting up camp, taking everyone. Quinn Ewers is like, man, I want to go back up Gary Nussmeier. Derek Williams is probably like, dang, I want to go play for C. Ray. And even though he would, he's a safety, he would play for the safeties coach, Jake Olson, but still. And a lot of people want to freak out about the joke I made, but it is what it is. Texas, you better watch out. Because, look, I'll be honest. Texas recruiting is really good. They're killing it. Look, Texas is going to be a major power moving forward. Steve Sarkisian, really good coach. But I'm starting to feel Steve Sarkisian is going down the Lincoln Riley role. I think this defense could get rancid. Okay? I think this defense could get rancid bad. I don't like their defensive coordinator. I don't like their situation over there. So we'll see what happens. And I kid. I'm going to be honest. Even though Texas is a school that I've always loved to make fun of, it's a school that we made a lot of jokes about here. I will say this, all right? And I want to announce this to everyone. My NFL channel is doing well. Is it doing like, am I Brett Coleman over there? No, I'm not doing anything like crazy. But the NFL videos that I've been doing on Power Hour NFL, guess who's been my number one video? It's been Jaden Daniels. I've done 2 Jaden film studies. It has matched any film study I've ever done on Power Hour LSU. And these are just preseason film studies. People freaking love Jaden Daniels and they love my analysis of him. And I'm in a unique position because I've watched every throw he's ever made, ever, outside of high school. So it's doing really well. But this will be my compliment for Steve Sarkisian. The other team that's done really well over there are the Jaguars. And I've had to watch a lot of Mac Jones. And Mac is playing well, but I went back and watched a Mac Jones with the Patriots. Dude, how was he the quarterback of one of the best college football offenses of all time in 2020? Mac Jones holds the EPA record, or the QBR record, for a single season ever. I'm telling you, the single best season when it comes to play calling in college football history was 2020 Alabama. Steve Sarkisian, his brain is different. It's different. Now, is he a loose cannon? Sure. But I'll tell you this, moving forward, it might not even be Texas A&M anymore because we have to battle against Texas A&M. I really do think Texas is going to be the school that we recruit against the most. I really do think so. All right. All right. Where's LA mom in here? Let me see. I think she's in here. That's my buddy. Let's see. I'll be on Rustin Radio 3:30 on Tuesday with my buddy Sean Fox. Shout out to him. Okay. We'll talk some Jamie French, the wide receiver out of Florida. No, Larry, I appreciate you, man. Your super chats go a long way. With inflation and all that, my super chats have gone way down. That's like 70% of how I make my money. But I understand. Anyone that donates anything, I really do appreciate it. We do have to give something away today, though. Let's see. First $20 super chat. I gave out all the LSU autographs in here. Now, had something weird to me happen today. We'll get to Alton's question next. Something really weird. All right. So, I had a friend who was in town for work, and this friend just happened to be a top 10 donor ever at PHL for me. Okay. And he's not been watching the channel as much. And he was in my town for work, and I saw that he was in my town. I was like, whoa, what the heck happened? Guess what happened to him today? All right, so I called him. I was like, dude, you're in town. Come see me. And we've had dinner a few times. Jason Morgan is his name. And Jason, and I'm just sharing this with you. This is just totally random. He didn't get it for me. All right. Jason last night got bed bugs from a hotel room. And he's covered in itchy bumps. All right. I'm telling you this right now. I think that's where I got my condition that I've been dealing with. I feel like I'm near 100%, even though I got a little bump right here. I think it was just a bug bite. If you go into a hotel room, all right, if you book a hotel room, don't skimp. Read every single freaking review, all right? Don't freaking skimp. I don't know if I'm ever going to sleep on a hotel bed again. I swear. Like, I am going to Lysol the hell out of every sheet that I'm on, okay? I just wanted to share that with you guys because, first off, it was cool, and I wanted to dedicate a good bit of the show here to Jason for making the trip over to come see me. He came to my house. All right. And guess what, Cameron? That's what I've had, permethrin. I had a ton of permethrin here. I mean, I got a stash. I'm just kidding. But I had a bottle left over from when I had it. I was going to give it to him, but he was able to get some. But y'all, please, I still can't sleep. My thighs, I wish you could see my thighs. They're beautiful. But my thigh is white from all the scratching. Okay? Like, literally white. I am pale. Right? Like I'm whiter than Carson Wentz on my kneecap right now. That 5%, you know, Cam, let's go. All right, welcome, Cam. There he is. Let's go. So, because I was just getting over my thing, okay, if there's anyone on the planet that deserves to see my studio, it's Jason, right? I would not be here right now if it wasn't for Jason Morgan. He's been donating for years now, since I've gotten monetized, all right? But I did not want him to get even sicker. I just didn't, okay? Because, dude, it sucks. We hope you feel better, Jason. I gave him a few autos as well. I don't even remember who. But y'all pray for Jason. Y'all please pray for Jason, okay? As he overcomes what I overcome. And I wanted to dedicate this part. We took a photo. I might have deleted it, whatever the case may be. So there we go. It's out of Ironhead. We take a look at the poll question. Will this be LSU's best recruiting class ever? I think it will be. I know it sounds like hyperbole. I think it will be. This will be the best LSU recruiting class of all time. I'm going to give you a multiple. Actually, it might already be. I'm going to give you multiple reasons as to why. Now, there is a difference between a recruiting class and actual production, all right? If any of you that have been following PHL for a while now, you know the single thing that gets me excited when it comes to recruiting, it's the 2017 recruiting class. That is the best recruiting class of all time. It's the best recruiting class of all time. I don't think we'll ever beat that. All right. Now, that is the best recruiting class based on production that we know about. Okay. All the way from Grant Delpit to Justin Jefferson. Okay. But in terms of recruiting rankings and what Brian Kelly's been able to pull off, this will be the best recruiting class of all time. And I will tell you why right after a very, very short break. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything anything home improvement, our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. So Bryce Underwood is the best LSU recruit of all time, right? Especially if you factor in our history of not really getting the elite five-star quarterback, the fact that you have to go into Michigan to go get him, and the fact that, objectively speaking, he is the highest rated recruit per the 247 composite that we have ever landed. And then on top of that, Brian Kelly, if you look at top 125 recruits, LSU already has 11 committed in this crop. All right, 11. I think Cade Phillips could actually be another that gets into that realm. All right, that is double the amount that he had been landing. And there's really only other one class, the 2020 class, that had 11 as well. On top of that, LSU has had some unluckiness when it comes to decommitments, right? They had DeCorian Moore committed. They had Jabari Antoine committed. Now, you don't get credit unless they actually do sign. That's the case with any recruit. But that is, and that's like a Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama level of top 100 recruits. At some point, you've had 13 top 125 recruits, and they could actually go back. So this is the best recruiting class of all time when you're just looking at raw recruiting rankings. And that's nuts. That is absolutely nuts, right? When you think of Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, you know, they were excellent, excellent recruiters. But Brian Kelly is taking it to another level. And then one final thing about what makes this the best recruiting class to me is you have three top 100 offensive linemen, right? None of the elite variety, but offensive line recruiting is the most important position in the modern day, or just throughout history, high school football recruiting. Offensive line's been the most important, in my opinion. And LSU's got not one, not two, but three top 100 offensive linemen committed. Now, there's been a lot of years where they've had two, okay? A lot of years. But rarely three. It is hard to get three, all right? One from Shreveport, one from Arkansas, one from Mississippi. So, congrats to Brian Kelly. Obviously, none of this means anything until you get him to sign. Oh, so the cards were Arden Key, my autograph, Tenacious D. Arden Key card, and Brian Kelly. I got some more. We're going to go to dinner here in a few weeks. So I'm really excited, man. Okay. Let's go to Jason. I'm excited to see Weeks, Perkins, Penn, Jones, Swinson, and Shannon Womack in the new Cheetah package. It'll cause absolute chaos. That's great. All right. Eddie Kinnison, congrats to him on graduating. Damian Lewis also went back, got his degree. A few others that slipped my mind. Also, big shout out to Slade Roy, who also graduated. Obviously, we're big Slade Roy fans on the channel. All right. Russell Shepard and Ryan Paler were top three QBs as well. They were. You're right. Ryan Paler was a national sixth-ranked recruit, and Russell Shepard was the number three-ranked national recruit, I believe. This is going to sound crazy. I've actually shared this the past couple weeks. I actually have a relationship with both of them. All right, I would consider both of them friends. I've talked to Russell plenty of times. I talked to him at the LSU game, one of the LSU games earlier this year, and saw Ryan not too long ago, actually. So shout out to him. Just go to No Cap Sports Talks. I'm hearing good things about Shelton Sampson and Jelani Watkins. They have been playing better. Obviously, Jelani Watkins got nicked up recently. He'll be fine. Obviously, he's more of a year two guy than a year one. Shelton Sampson's had some good moments during fall camp. The issue is neither of them are in the top five in the wide receiver rotation. And that is a good thing. Now, do I want them to live their dreams and play a lot? Sure, I want every LSU wide receiver to catch 100 balls. But that's just not reality. So the LSU wide receiver rotation is going to be Chris Hilton, Kyren Lacy, and CJ Daniels. Your number four guy is going to be Xavion Thomas. Your number five guy is going to be Aaron Anderson. And this wide receiver rotation is going to be the tightest in terms of targets and snaps that we have ever seen before at LSU. And why is that the case? Well, Brian Kelly himself mentioned that LSU is going to run more 12 personnel. All right. So what is 12 personnel? Well, it's two tight end sets. And if you were to take away one football film thing, and I understand I'm the film study guy, y'all, I am never on this channel and in any of my film studies going to get so unfreaking believably technical to where it's too hard to understand. Now, are there some things that can get very technical in our film breakdowns? Sure. Yes, absolutely. But one technical term that's football jargon that I think all fans should know is personnel groupings. And it's more important now because it's going to be a discussion point because LSU has two freak tight ends now in Kamarion Penton and Tre'Davious Green. Also, I listen to every Brian Kelly press conference. I try to listen to every Brian Kelly interview. He is very transparent. He will tell you everything if you listen closely. Now, you do have to listen closely. At this point, he has said enough about Tre'Davious Green and Kamarion Penton to understand that he likes them a lot, and he really does think both of them are really good. Okay? So, what does that mean? Well, we know Mason Taylor is going to play a lot. You kind of have to play him because of his run blocking, and you know, we don't want to not have a third year and three player with ridiculous genetics and playmaking ability to not play. So we want him on the field a lot. That means you're going to have more two tight end sets, which means one wide receiver comes off the field. Now, what is this technical term? Well, it's the personnel groupings, all right? And let me see if I could find the actual, I know I have it here somewhere, so we can make sure we are all on the same page here. Let's see. Not that. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing because I'm an idiot. Y'all, if there's one thing you could take away from this, do not be an idiot. I'm normally pretty prepared, but I wasn't here because I just wanted to cover this. Oh, we are all here. Okay. Actually, I'll just pull it up here. All right. Okay. Images. This is a very good image. Okay. I'm even going to tell y'all to screenshot this, because it will drastically increase your football knowledge. I really do believe it. Oh, it's blurry. Oh, well, you'll be able to see it enough. Okay? So, these are the personnel groupings. Okay? The first number of the personnel groupings is the amount of running backs that are on the field. The second number of a personnel grouping is the amount of tight ends that are on the field. And there's not a third number. All right. So what you do here is if you are running 12 personnel, that means the first number, which is the amount of running backs, right? Running backs or fullbacks. That's the one thing that this thing doesn't show you. Running backs or fullbacks, you're in 12 personnel if you have one running back and two tight ends. But what you can normally do 99% of the time is add the amount of running backs and tight ends in the personnel grouping, subtract it by 5, and that's going to get you the amount of wide receivers that would be on the field. 99% of the time you can do that. Okay? So if there is one advanced football kind of jargony thing, it's understanding personnel groupings because it is very important. Now, there are hybrid tight ends, right? Like Tre'Davious Green, is he really a tight end or is he really a wide receiver? In the grand scheme of things, is personnel grouping something that you absolutely positively need to know? No. But it is kind of a jargony thing and it does help you to understand the topic. Okay? Let's go to Pegasus. Can I just say something? 11 personnel when there's 11 people playing is a little annoying. Yeah, it's not the best numbering system. I'll say this, Pegasus, as someone that covers a lot of sports and likes to know all the positions and numberings and inside jargon, it's like this in every sport. There's a lot of things in like certain hobbies that just don't make any sense. Right? It just doesn't make any sense at all. Like if you go up to someone who doesn't know soccer and you say, hey, he's a number 11 and his jersey number is like number 17. Okay. Now, if you know soccer jargon, you know what that means. Okay. I was a number 6, but I wore jersey number 10. You know, there's stuff like that, right? Every sport has it. Every single sport has it. I think personnel groupings is actually one of the easier things, but it is confusing because, you know, if someone's doesn't know anything, you assume the 11 in 11 personnel means that there's 11 people on the field. Okay. I would like to think, Gerard, that one of them becomes elite. At least one of them, if not both. They both graded really, really highly for me. I think both of them are really, really, really good. You know what's interesting? I haven't talked a whole lot about Mike Tyler, the commitment from last night. We already did a video on it. You guys probably watched it already. You know, Mike Tyler is not the same level of prospect as Kamarion Pimpton or Tre'Davious Green. They're both so much bigger than him. And Mike is going to need to put on some pounds if he wants to be a tight end for Brian Kelly, right? What I would say about Mike Tyler, who is currently the lowest rated LSU recruit, the one area that he has over Tre'Davious Green and Kamarion Pimpton is yak. Now he's a 2025 guy, so he'll be, you know, jumping into that room next year with both of them. Mike Tyler has some real, real wiggle after the football is in his hands, right? But you know, this tight end room is as loaded as it's ever been in LSU. Okay, it really has. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 10 to 15, we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. I've touched on pretty much everything that I wanted to get to today. You know, there's so much LSU stuff that we have to discuss between now and then. Once again, if you are going to Las Vegas, please shoot me a message on Twitter or Instagram at PowerHourLSU. And I do have a special deal for everyone here. My Patreon, my latest film study on Patreon, on my biggest concern that I saw yesterday from the LSU scrimmage is linked down below. It is free, all right, for the next 48 hours. It is free. Now, not all my film studies on Patreon are going to be free. My game grades, all that stuff. But you also get Discord benefits, $9.99 a month. And you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. And you support me. So Also, with your Patreon subscription, you also get a one-on-one with me. Eric Gilbert, I won't go down that rabbit hole. Deuce Robinson. I actually think he still has talent. He caught a deep touchdown in the bowl game last year. Okay. Now, thanks again, Larry. I appreciate it. If I do get a $20 super chat, I will not only give out an LSU auto, I will also tell you the steal of all steals in fantasy football drafts. Okay? The steal of all steals. And the funny thing is, you would think I would hate this guy. But dude, Rambo and Edward O. Some of the 104.5 guys are lurking in here. I love it. I wanted to save this bit of brilliance here. LSU football, man, they shoot some excellent, excellent stuff. Okay. BT killing in chat. I see you, dog.
7-7-7-7-7-7-7.
Oh, my God, boy!
Bro, Colin? Trade as green as that dude, man. Telling you, man. What a freaking day. Dude, I am a freaking Michael Turner fanboy. Player X lurking. I knew he'd be lurking. You can't have a live stream without Player X lurking on a Sunday, bro. You just can't. You just can't, man. Player X lurking. Don't be lurking, bro. I see. Let me see. I was trying to find the photo of me and Player X. Okay. Now. Oh, can't do that. I was trying to play this without audio. I'm not going to be able to. But I do want to share something. Do have a new partner here at PHL. Our friends, Zion Imaging, 360 booth. All right. We had one at our wedding and it was a game changer. Okay. I would book this today. Anywhere in North Louisiana, South Arkansas, South Louisiana as well. We'll travel. You've got to book this, your next wedding. Next birthday, next family reunion. Just check them out. Zion Imaging on Facebook. Okay. Let's check them out or give them a call. 318-469-4265. Okay. This is a business that was started by a good friend, Black OT. You've seen him in the chat, Black OTNT. This is actually something that I do. I work in the wedding industry. Now, I'm a wedding DJ. I don't do the photo booth, spinning photo booth. I did not know he was doing this. And when he approached me about partnering with BHL, I didn't really even know he did this. He does a lot of marketing and business stuff. But you should go book one now. I'm serious. Like if it's your child's birthday party, it really, really makes your event go to that next level. Okay. It really, really, really does. Now, I'm not that big on Facebook. Okay. But they are, as you can see. You can book through Facebook as well. XYAN Imaging, based in Shreveport. Okay. There's Black OT right there. Awesome sauce. So pumped up. You're okay, Cliff. Let's go. We'll take a few more. Let's keep it going. Roger Dodger, our USC expert. Give us your breakdown. How are you feeling about your game? How are you feeling about the team? So TJ sliding in. TJ sliding in. Y'all want to know my hottest take? For you fantasy footballers out there. Once again, if I get a $20 super chat, I will tell you who you should draft late in drafts. I'm going to hold that off until we get there. I don't always see eye to eye with the next generational player. All right. So I do my own grading. It's not as technical as like a Lance Erline or whatever for every LSU player. And I was at the absolute highest on BTJ as a rookie being great. I thought it was going to take him a year, and then he'll break out. But Brian Tubbs Jr. is going to play a lot for the Jaguars this next year. And I'm going to be doing a lot of Jaguars coverage because they're blowing up my NFL channel right now. Malik Nabers is the best draft prospect coming out of LSU since Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be great, and he was phenomenal. I was very excited to see Derek Stingley, though, have some good reps against him as well. And Jaden Daniels is looking amazing. I am not the biggest Bijan Robinson guy. I know that's just like kind of totally random. And I know I said what I said earlier about Texas. Do I think he's elite? Yes. I don't view him, though, as the generational like running back that everyone points him out to be. And what's very interesting to me is in fantasy drafts, people take Bijan Robinson over Breece Hall. Y'all, Breece Hall is the best running back in the NFL. I think he's the best running back in the NFL. I do. It's him and McCaffrey. They're close. And Breece Hall will probably be my most owned first-round player next year. I think Breece Hall is so freaking good. And there's so much more value in your running back being elite and so on. Shorty, what's up? Yeah, we got a flip. Cade Phillips. LSU is the number 3 ranked recruiting class. They are. And they have a good chance of being number 1. What does it take to be number 1? Yeah, he's not been productive at this point, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's see. All right, this is an IG question. Shout out to the Instagrams of the world. Oh, it's just for my wife. I was like, come on. Will Campbell gave everybody headphones. That's good. I think I will say, if there was ever a year for an offensive lineman to win the Heisman, it's this year, right? No elite QBs. Like, I mean, there's big time QBs. Don't get it wrong, but like. There's not that Caleb Williams kind of guy going into this year. There's no, like, running back. I mean, do we really think Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State's going to get it done? No real running back? Is there a receiver that can go out there and win the Heisman? I guess if Luther Burden went nuclear and they went to the playoff, I could see a world where Luther Burden could win the Heisman. But Will Campbell, highest rated player on the college football video game, number 7 uniform, third year starter, going to be heavily mocked as the number 1 overall pick, if not top 10 overall pick. One of my hotter takes going into next year is a non-QB will win the Heisman next year. Obviously, Carson Beck would be the safest pick. I do think Carson Beck is the best quarterback. And, you know, there is a tiny piece of me that hopes the New York Giants just suck. Carson Beck is the perfect quarterback for Malik Nabers. And obviously Daniel Jones is going to get it done. Yes, I think we will get an ending, and we will have a video when he when he commits on the 24th. Nathan says, I hope Ollie Gordon wins it. You bet on him. Oh, man. I mean, is he good enough? Yes. But I'm telling you, if there was a year where Will Campbell could do something revolutionary, it'd be this year. It would be this year. Amicat says, if Milrow plays like he does in college football 25, unfortunately, it would be him. Y'all got to quit sending me Paul Skeens cards. A lot of you do just send me cards that you like. Y'all got to quit, man. I can't do that, man. Haley would divorce me if I did what I wanted to do to these cards. Okay. They're that expensive. They're stupid expensive. see here. Positive. Bro. I just don't collect baseball either. Like, I don't want to get addicted to like collecting like baseball stuff. But his stuff is just so like, I hate it when I get questions like, "Hey, what's the best Burrow card I can get?" I was like, "Well, what's your bankroll looking like? Do you have a mortgage lender?" Let's see here. Hey, look at this. Please go give this a sub. We're right there at 2K. Only 55 videos in. We're about to hit 2K. It's pretty good. That Patrick Mahomes behind the back pass. Whew. There you go. Jaden Daniels. 12K views after 22 hours. Did a Caleb Williams yesterday. Should go check it out. Okay. Damn, AP. Nice, bro. You got steals. Edward O said he was going to send me some cards to give out. Actually, one viewer, I think he wanted to do it anonymously. I want to shout him out. Is actually sending me a bunch of really nice stuff. You know, some of which I will keep. I try to keep stuff that you guys give me, but you know, sometimes you can have just too much stuff, and I love giving stuff out. I think it's been one of my top five favorite things on this channel has been helping you guys start collections. Patrick Mahomes is the single greatest football player ever. I got in a Twitter debate about this. My one thing I will always stand firm on is Tom Brady. We look at Tom Brady so far and away from all the other quarterbacks of this era. And I'm not even talking about Mahomes. Mahomes could catch him, obviously. But Tom Brady is not infinitely better than Drew Brees. He's not. And I know that sounds stupid because he won 7 Super Bowls and played in 10, and Drew Brees won a single Super Bowl and played in 1, right? And, you know, you put Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees together, Tom Brady has double the amount of Super Bowl appearances than those three have combined. But winning is different than playing quarterback. It is two different things. And yes, winning is part of your quarterback resume. Okay. There is not that big of a gap for me between Tom and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and in particular, Peyton Manning. There's just not. Now, I think one of Aaron's MVP should have been Tom's. But Drew definitely deserved an MVP. Well, send those few. No, I'm kidding. Hold on to what you got. I saw you reference it one time. It's no big deal, man. You hold on. Yeah, Patrick Peterson's not with anyone. He's not been signed. That kind of bothers me, Chance. All right. You know one thing that's really good about being a college football fan? Because, look, I'll be doing more NFL stuff this year. Not on here, obviously, because this is the LSU channel. One great thing about being a college football fan is you never have to watch your favorite players slowly lose the thing that they love the most, which is the ability to play football. Outside of course, family, religion, and all that stuff. Like, it's hard when you're watching as like an NFL fan and you see your favorite players get washed. It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. Don't have to do that in college. And yeah, there's things in college that we don't like when a player that we like transfers or whatever, but the NFL is, in particular, is really brutal when you lose your, when you see your favorite player lose burst. I saw Keenan Allen on an out route today and I was like, what the hell is that? I was like, look at that tight end running it out. I was like, no, that's Keenan Allen. College, you don't have to watch your guys get washed. And the truth is, Patrick Peterson's not washed at all. I think he can still play. He's not, obviously, his prime. And he's played way longer than anyone would have expected him to. Especially early on when he had his blood condition. So, to me, someone should tie him. It is, however, painful because I do still have a bond with LSU players after they leave. I sometimes am too invested in their professional careers. And one that really hurt me was Jarvis Landry. The Jarvis Landry years, since the Saints and up to now, that has hurt me. Like, hurt me that there's not a single team out there that thinks Jarvis Landry is good enough for him right now. You would pick Joe Montana or Tom Brady? If I had to pick one QB with the game I'm on, I'm picking Joe Burrow. F all y'all. I'm picking Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels. But truth be told, one game on the line, I need a QB to go out there and get me the dub. I'm probably going to go Mahomes. The best quarterback I personally have ever seen, as in I felt watching him, he was the best. It's either Dan Marino or Peyton Manning for me. I think those are the two best quarterbacks I personally have ever watched. Now, I will say there are some different quarterbacks who have peaks, like unfreaking believable peaks, but they didn't have the longevity. So, like for instance, Cam Newton, his peak was insane. College and NFL was insane. But Dante, what's good, man? Chat, the chat's not been the same without you, Dante. I'm serious. Cole, good to see you. I don't know where Rome has been. Rome always gets the chat lit. TJ always keeps the chat lit as well. All right. Well, I will skedaddle. Jed says, John Elway is the best quarterback that you've ever seen, Jed? You're not the only one. But most people who know ball will tell you Dan Marino. I'm serious. Most people who know ball would say Dan Marino is the best quarterback that they've ever seen. Dan Marino. Now, I didn't have the best career. And I would still say Brady had the best career, even though I said something anti-Brady a minute ago. My point is there is a gap, but there's not that big of a gap for me between him and Drew Brees. There's not that big of a gap between him and Aaron Rodgers. That's just me. Everybody, welcome Brennan Huff to the channel. Boats and gardening tools. Brennan, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. Brian wants to keep the party going. 2009 Drew Brees is the best ever to me. I agree. I'll just say it. That was one of the most special seasons you'll ever see. '09 Brees. You know, when I get sad, I pull up football highlights. All right. And there are, I'll tell you this to go along with the super chat. There's a list of about like 10 athletes whose highlights I pull up when I'm sad. Okay. 09 Breeze is up there. Peyton Manning is up there. When I'm sad, I do pull up Peyton Manning highlights a lot. Now, when I'm in the deepest funk, it's Tyrann Mathieu LSU highlights. That's number one. But my funk highlights, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. There's going to be a deep cut here. Luis Suarez, prime Luis Suarez. Michael Jordan, that's too basic, though. I do go back and watch a lot of Jordan highlights. Jason Williams, white chocolate, that's one. You know what else was a fun highlight? Edgar Renteria. Remember him, shortstop? Oh, Brett Favre, yes, Brett Favre. Oh, man, his highlights are insane, all right? Justice at CB12. Yeah, Tari, I mean, if Dan Marino played now, sheesh, bro. Like, if I will say this. The 5,000-yard passing season thing with Drew Brees is always underrated to me. And I understand, like, because if stats were everything, Russell Westbrook would be, like, we would think he's a top 10 player of all time. But, you know, to do something five times when no one else has done it twice outside of Mahomes is crazy to me. It's crazy. 5,000-yard passing seasons, okay? Now, as far as, like, the quarterback mixtape thing, and if you guys super, I know a lot of you are watching the Saints game in the background. The one quarterback, if we were to put the 20, like, if you were to pull the 20 most extraordinary throws, and I'm talking about just pocket throws. Obviously, you know, if you want to talk about highlights, Johnny Manziel is probably the most exciting, or Lamar Jackson or whatever. But if we're talking about just pocket throws and one mixtape style, so you got fire-ass hip-hop playing in the background, the guy who probably has the nastiest 20-throw catalog is Matthew Stafford. Okay? Now, I'm not saying Matthew Stafford is the best, all right? But his 20 best throws are as absurd. If I were to rank them, it would probably be Stafford, and then probably Aaron, and then probably Mahomes, okay? Like, those three probably have, like, the best throw mixtape. But Matthew Stafford's all-time best throws would put most to shame, okay? Most to shame. Matthew Stafford's has some just stupid, stupid throws. Brandon says, well, what about Joe Flacco? Let's go. Pegasus says, the two best QB talents you've seen are Rodgers and Mahomes. That's fair. Yeah, you know, Peyton's throw mixtape is just not going to be as good as like a Stafford's, right? Because he didn't have that level of juice in the arm. But the one thing you'll see about Peyton's throws is you will see no one in the history of the NFL could lead a receiver like Peyton Manning. Like, I honestly go look at his best throws. No one could, you wouldn't have to break stride hardly ever on a Peyton Manning throw. He would, the ball, dude, it is insane. It is absolutely insane. Okay. But if I was doing the best, Peyton Manning is my favorite quarterback of all time. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. But I say Peyton Manning because obviously with Drew Brees, I have a lot of Louisiana bias because he played for the Saints. I know Peyton Manning's from New Orleans, but still, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees are my favorite quarterbacks. And obviously, Jaden and Joe are on a different level of love because they played at LSU and they were great. Same thing with Flynn, Jamarcus, and all those guys. Don't include LSU with those guys. Huge, huge, huge Peyton Manning fan, though. The guy played the game the right way. He's very interesting. He doesn't talk down on anyone. He doesn't big time anyone. He's just an outstanding, outstanding guy. And he's the best, personally, the best quarterback I've ever seen. It's Peyton Manning. And then we'll go Tom, and then we'll go Drew. Those are my top three that I've seen in my lifetime. Now, obviously, Dan Marino was just so early in my life. He's probably the best, especially if you era adjust it. And then there's John Elway. I mean, there's 1,000 guys, right? Burt Jones. Let's go. I've shared this plenty of times as well. I know it gets old, but Burt Jones's best friend is one of my really close friends. So I've met Burt a few times. Great guy. Great guy. But yeah, Burt was good. Burt was really damn good. 2006 Jamarcus. So you know what's interesting? I did a tweet. I did a random film study breakdown on Friday of my favorite Drew Brees throw. It was actually a throw versus the Raiders, okay? And it was a throw to Lance Moore versus the Raiders. It was just random. They blew him out. But you can go to my Twitter, at Carter the Power, and you could see it, all right? Also tweeted at Power Hour LSU. And this throw is so stupid. I don't even know how Drew even thought he could complete it, but he did. And what was interesting was it was two of my favorite quarterbacks going out. It was Jamarcus Russell on one sideline and Drew Brees on the other. And you had an interesting dichotomy in that game, right? Jamarcus was in the Superdome. That was arguably his best game ever in that Superdome when he blew Brady Quinn and Notre Dame out and Jeff Samardzija. My dad and I and a few other family members were at that game. But it was interesting because you had the quarterback who had the biggest arm we probably have ever seen in the NFL. And on the other sideline, we had a quarterback who succeeded without a great arm. You had a quarterback who was a physical marvel. And then on the other side, you had a quarterback who wasn't a physical marvel. And then on one side, you had a quarterback who didn't study tape, would lie about studying tape. And then you had the other quarterback who studied tape, but more than anyone. And it was so interesting. These two guys who I like so much, they got to their spots in two completely different ways. And that was a good example of working hard really does matter. Now, you need to have the elite athleticism. And both of them are elite athletes. But goes to show you that quarterback is just such a big, big mind game. Right? Let's go to Pegasus. He says, best QB performance versus LSU has to be Cam, right? No, it doesn't have to be. What was it? Cam Newton, 220 rushing yards versus LSU and, outrunning Patrick Peterson to the end zone. I mean, yeah, that was up there. I mean, that was Cam's first – like, he had other good games, but that was his first, like, national game. And on top of that, let's see. Best quarterback performances versus LSU. Okay. You know, I would honestly say Aaron Murray, right? The 44-41 game. You say Aaron Murray? I'm trying not to just pick like quarterbacks in these recent seasons, right? Aaron Murray is definitely in there. I'm obviously just focusing on modern era. Bo Nix in Tiger Stadium, but that defense was bad. Oh, you know who had one that was really good and it's low-key kind of underrated? And it's gonna sound funny, is Sam Ehlinger going head-to-head. Like, now that we know what we know about Ehlinger, what we know about Burrow, the fact that he was able to go head to head was insane. Okay. Battle, what's good? Kool-Aid's dominating. Okay, I'm going to go watch the Saints game. But I'm going to think about that, Pegasus. I think, let me see, what was Aaron Murray? I see what his stats were. 298 and four tutties. Yeah, I mean, that was... That's insane, bro. 95.1 QBR. Damn, dude. And you also got to keep in mind, like, I know 298 is not, like, ridiculous, but they handed the football to Keith Marshall 20 times, all right? And they had Todd Gurley that they could have handed the football to. So they ran the football a lot, and he still went for 20 for 34, 298, four tutties and a pick. And these were the receivers, right? Chris Conley was good, but I mean, none of these guys were like obviously Jarvis and Odell over here, but I would probably say Aaron Murray, but let me think about that. Okay. And obviously Aaron Murray in that game, not 2011. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. All right. I'm not going to do 2020 because obviously that was it. KJ Costello, that's probably the answer, right? But let's not do 2020. The truth, though, Amicat, it's probably Dak, right? What was it? Let me pull up. It might actually be Dak. All right. Dak was 15 for 24, 268, two tutties, no picks. All right. His receivers were Jamion Lewis, Daronya Wilson, and Dak also ran for 22, 105, a tutty, and that 56-yard touchdown. I think it's got to be. I think it might be this. 90.6 QBR on the road. I would put Dak ahead of Aaron. I see. Let's see. That's an insane game on the road, bro. I go to this and see what we got here. I want to get this. Plus, also with the Dak thing, you have the less miles angle too. You know, I pissed him off. That kind of adds to it. All right. Let me make sure. Okay. 2014 LSU defense. Quan Alexander, Kendall Beckwith, Danielle Hunter, Ronald Martin, Jamar A. Roscoe, Jamal Adams, Jalen Mills, Devon Gotcha, Christian Lacouture, Tre'Davious White, Lamar Lewis, Deion Lewis, Duke Riley, Tayshaun Bower, Jalen Collins. Look at dude, just look at how many pros were on this defense. I mean, NFL, three NFLs, six NFLs, seven, eight, 10. I count three Pro Bowlers off the top of my head, and Dak lit them up. throwing to Darunya Wilson. Hooker, yeah, that's a good one. But honestly, Pegasus, I don't think he really played that well. He lit us up, but he wasn't his. I mean, he had three games way better than that. So I don't know if I'd go that far. What's interesting is like LSU has been the school that has had more elite performances versus elite QBs, right? Shut down Manziel twice, shut down Trevor, beat Mahomes. Honestly, it might actually be Mahomes, but it was in a losing effort. It might be Mahomes. Yeah, Tebow never really got us. So he had the 13-3 game where he was concussed. And then the 08 game, he destroyed us. But, I mean, we didn't even get off the bus. 07, we beat him. And then he had the touch pass his freshman year. But I guess I would need to go back and watch that Hendon Hooker game. It was good. He got us, but I wasn't close to what he did versus Alabama. That was one of the best games I've ever seen from a quarterback. But I don't like doing like these recent years. The KJ Costello is the answer, but I mean, that wasn't against an actual defense. So. I mean, KJ Costello got beat by Arkansas the next week. Ooh, John Rhys Plumlee is actually not a bad one either, Chef. That's tough. Back-to-back road games. I mean, we've done a lot of deep dives on what happened in that game. Patrick Queen also shared a few things that I didn't know about. And go watch a Patrick Queen interview. Explain the Ole Miss game. But the issue with that is, like, we were already up 21-0. So, you know, we already kind of mailed it in. Lots of soft defenses and so on. But he did go off on us. 200 rushing yards. Boyd. Jonah Williams will be committing on Saturday, August 24th. Who is it that asked about the Jonah Williams out of Galveston? Someone did earlier. I'm sorry I didn't get to it. All right, y'all. Aiden Itting, Anding, and Jonah Williams on the same day. I'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Here's a Dak card right here. There you go. I've grown into a Dak defender. Tonight we are doing burgers. Let's go.